Hi everyone, Saint Man here. This is yet another one of my chats with Lily. This one is about why men shouldn't chase women, and how you just let them come to you when they're interested. Lily made the comment that men should pursue according to one of her friends. I apologize for the audio once again, as I thought there was something wrong with my new computer, but it just wouldn't let me use my H4 handy recorder to record the interview. For the next batch of interviews I do with her, I'll be using that H6N instead. I'll share the clip in a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Chris Whalen. He's a U.S. business tax expert serving clients in North America and abroad. The first consultation is always free, just like men going their own way. He's also a fellow MGTOW and will keep your pills red, but brings your books back to black. Reach out to Chris Whalen, CPA, today for all your personal and business accounting needs, before taking care of your sexual needs. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, here's the chat, so enjoy.
One of my friends was telling me that that you shouldn't chase men, or you shouldn't initiate anything romantically with men, because it's not in their nature to be chased. And she was giving the example of the sperm and the egg. That it's just you just have to be passive, and they're supposed to chase you, and that's their nature. Sometimes see is that men just freeze if they don't see anything from the woman and become really passive and kind of don't want to approach her. So what do you think? Do you think is this male nature to chase?
I think it's male nature to chase, but then men chase and we get rejected enough times, so they stop chasing. Okay. And so what a lot of guys do is they just live their life, and then, like, for me, women would just show up, and they'd be like, I'm like, one day I'm like there, and all of a sudden there's this like woman there next to me, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Right? She's like, well, I'm here taking the same class, or I have the same common interest as you, or blah blah blah, right? And then she would just hang out and hope that I would like make a move on her. So she would get into my physical zone of space and basically hope that I would pick her. That's how most women that I've gotten together with, like, they tell me that they're available without telling me they're available. They just tell me because they're in my general vicinity, and if they're in my vicinity long enough, then I make a move. Mm-hmm. If I'm not interested, but then the women that I'm not interested in, it's funny, the women that I always make a move on are usually the worst ones I can make a move on. The best ones that are in my vicinity, I never make a move on. For some reason, that's like, I think back to my life and I'm like, there were at least 20 women like who were like begging me without saying anything to make a move. And I didn't make a move. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, we were talking about self-esteem. And when you're younger, if you have self-esteem issues because you don't feel like you're very high in the social order of men. What ends up happening is, as you get older, you're not comfortable going after the women that are interested in you, that you would have considered much higher in that sexual order than you. So you end up going for the lower quality women because you don't see yourself as being worthy of the higher quality women.
So that is a part of male nature, you think?
So if you chase, then you're going to be a creep, because like, you don't go chasing somebody that's not interested. You chase somebody, you ask them out if they're interested, if they're hanging around in your general vicinity, in your general area, then you can go and make a move. But other than that, you can't just like, oh, I'm going to make a move on this person that, you know, like, they see me, they know I exist, but they're not interested. They're not hanging around. They're not talking to me. So the
woman has to do those things.
The woman has to engage initial contact. She has to be like, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. Nice to meet you. And then it's your time to make a move after that.
Okay. So this is what women can do.
If women want. Okay. So if I was a woman and I was like, okay, I'm interested in this guy over here, I'm just going to have a nice, friendly conversation with him. And then if I have a conversation with him and he's attracted to me, then he's going to make a move. If he's not, then I'm going to go over to that other guy that I find interesting that I might meet a month or two from now. Okay. Right. So that's, you know, so the idea is don't, as a woman, do not be aggressive. Just approach men, have a conversation with them. If the man is interested, he will make a move. That's it. It's not that difficult.
Okay. What about during relationship?
Sorry?
Again, because what about once you're in the relationship? Because my friend was telling me that you should kind of not do much, a lot for them. They have to do it for you. They have to be like, you know, showering you with compliments and gestures. So you shouldn't do all of those things because it's not in their nature to accept that. And they should be the one doing it. So what do you think about that?
You think that you're saying that men should be the ones that are...
No, I don't think that at all. But that's what my friend was telling me. And I'm not sure if I agree with it. But she was saying, oh, that's just male nature. They should be the one showering you with gifts and compliments and gestures. And you shouldn't do those things because it's male nature.
What do you think? It's the idea of masculine versus feminine energy, right? So it's like, you know, in places like Russia, that's what your friend was describing is exactly what happens in places like that. Men have certain expectations and women have other expectations. And so in the West, those expectations are shifting where, you know, women are, you know, becoming expected to be romantic and they're expected to take on more male roles. So you're basically puppeting more Western values and she's puppeting more Eastern values. You're both right, depending on what society you're living in.
Okay. But which one is nature? Because that's the society kind of culture thing.
If you're in a society where men are emasculated and weak and feminine, then, you know, opposites attract. So the women are going to become more masculine to attract those feminine males.
I think
it's nature creates a vacuum of it with regards to power dynamics. And then one side always fills the power vacuum.
So you would say that it's the nature of more masculine men to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. To be more romantic and to be more assertive and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Are you okay? Or do you want to take a break?
Yeah, you can do one more if you want.
Okay. So these are basically the last ones. And then I was going to ask you about how women can develop empathy with men. So I'm going to ask all three of them. They're kind of related, the two of them. So one is devotion.
I'll cut you off if I can't keep track of them for too long.
Yeah, and if also anytime you're tired, just let me know. So one is devotion and white knighting. And if devotion and white knighting is again, male nature and how it makes them vulnerable to manipulation. And the last question is, because I know that you've developed empathy towards women and then you lost interest in them after that. But you did something. You said you put yourself in women's shoes and then you could, now you can read their minds. Now you understand female nature. And so how would you say a woman can do that to understand male nature and have empathy towards them?
Look, most women do understand male nature, even if it's just subconscious. They understand it and they use it. They use their understanding to get the advantage over men. It's hard to kind of like this takes us back to what we were talking about in the beginning. It's hard to kind of not use something that you have an advantage over. So if you can use...
You're not using it.
Yeah, but I also suffered a lot in my life, right? So for me, like you're talking about empathy, you're talking about like I can feel empathy because I've gone through horrendous amounts of pain. And I've gone through deprivation, and I've gone through suffering, and I've gone through, you know, all these terrible, terrible things. And because of that, I'm humble. But the thing is, if the average person hasn't gone through that, then they can't relate.
Yes, yeah, so they can't really just put themselves in somebody else's shoes and feel empathy for them. They're just going to understand them and then take advantage.
Look, like I said, like people who lived through the Great Depression, they can empathize with people who are poor because they were poor themselves at one point. Mm-hmm. But if they were spoiled like today's children and have everything given to them, how are they ever going to relate to being poor if they've never been poor before? And if they do become poor, they're going to become really angry and because they're entitled.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to what was? So,
that's not male nature. It was just, I was wondering, because I know that you have a lot of empathy towards women, even though, you know, I don't think you can be harsh, but I think you also understand women a lot, and you come from a non-biased place when you speak about them. And I always think, okay, you must have a lot of empathy for women. And you understand them enough that you're not interested. So I'm actually thinking, what if women did that? What if women try to understand men more and have empathy towards them? Maybe they would, you know, don't give them such a hard time.
Like I said, it has to do with the individual person's experiences in life, right? Yeah. So like we were talking about Wonder Hussy earlier, like, the reason you're like, well, she's got very masculine energy, but she did the same types of freelance jobs that I've done my entire life. She's worked as a photographer, she's got a degree in the arts, you know, she's done like kooky crazy things and expressed herself, and there's a lot of similarities there in terms of you know, like life experience. And like if you worked as a freelancer for a long time, there are periods of time where you suffer because you don't have income coming in as much as you used to, right? And there's times where it's like feast and famine. So you have to kind of get used to that. Whereas the average person gets a stable job, it doesn't pay as much as something that's unstable, but they're always just like they're never suffering. They're always kind of just like in this like bland, normal like place in the middle, so they can't relate to somebody who's suffering because they themselves have never suffered or aren't suffering on a regular basis.
So you have to be human first, and then you can understand the opposite sex and have empathy for them.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just a short comment on the white knighting tendencies in men and devotion. So what's that? Is that a part of male nature as well? And does that make them vulnerable to being manipulated?
Like white knighting in terms of just like doing nice things for women,
you
just
talk
because
about it. I'm not really sure, but for example, you say if a man sees a woman in trouble, he wants to save her, and he wants to help out.
Yeah, there's two things to that, right? So it benefits him because he's able to feel good about himself for helping that person, mm-hmm. And it also benefits her because she's able to receive the help. So there's a lot of people who exploit that, and then there's a lot of people who benefit from it. So if the guy is being exploited by the woman, for being a white knight, for helping her out, but he's also getting something in return, which is validation. Who's exploiting who, right? Because they're both, it's a symbiotic relationship. They're both getting something that they need from the other person.
Right. So, but what is it? Is it like an instinct that men have to save women, or is it again validation seeking, feeling good about themselves?
I think there's a huge level of validation from it. Like I told you about those lesbians at the slut walk who were like, they looked very masculine and they were doing all this stuff. They were like carrying the heavy speakers around. And I was just like, Well, that's something you don't see every day. Or like
wanting to be helpful. That's a male nature thing, isn't
it? Yeah, but they looked so sad because they look like they were just like they were like worker slaves.
They're not enjoying themselves.
Sorry?
They're not enjoying what they're doing.
Oh no, they were enjoying themselves, but they looked like they were just doing it automatically like automatons.
Oh, okay. So that's natural then.
Yeah. So maybe it was natural because they were, well, maybe it wasn't natural. Maybe they were just taking like testosterone hormones as they were like transgendered, like lesbian.
Yeah, that's what, because men naturally have more testosterone. And
yeah.
If testosterone makes you do something, that means it's just male nature, isn't it?
There you go.